Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for this opportunity to come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're thankful, Lord, for all those that have had part in this so far. And Lord, for those that shall have part today, we pray your blessings upon them. We pray that you be with each professor here at this school, for those that are helping to teach us to be better preachers, to be better servants of yours. We pray your utmost blessings upon them. Pray your blessings upon these that are here. May they go out from this place to be the greatest stewards this world has ever known. Change America through these students, and we'll give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to number 475, and let's stand. Let's let them hear us clean to Wake Forest. Having a good revival. We appreciate the job that the Cantata Choir did yesterday and the great message that Bob Willard brought. And if you didn't get to come to the service last night, you missed a real blessing. We appreciate the job that Margaret Tyree and Carol Hill did with their special singing for Floyd Lofton and the wonderful testimony that he gave, and for Paula Clayton. She brought a great message. Do come to the services on Thursday and Thursday night. For Thursday morning, we'll be back here, and for Thursday evening, we'll be back there. Bring somebody with you. We like to fill this place up, and I hope that you'll do that. If you'll come, you'll be blessed. We'd like to get started in evangelism here, and I'll wait till you get back to your churches, but do it while you're here at the seminary. Following the men's choir this morning, we'll have Reverend Gerald Martin coming, a second-year student in the Associate Divinity Program. He will be coming to bring us the message. His home is in Pickens, South Carolina. He's married and has three boys and one girl. He's a graduate of North Greenville College with an AA degree. And he's currently serving as a pastor of Red Hill Baptist Church in Pickens, South Carolina.
Amazing grace, oh how sweet the Someone has defined grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't it wonderful to know, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, that we can enjoy the riches of God made possible because of the death of Jesus Christ, His wonderful grace. I wish to express my appreciation unto you for the opportunity to share with you during these days of revival, special days of spiritual renewal. I believe that we all could stand a little dose of spiritual renewal. I know, having been a pastor 5.5 years, that there comes a time when we sense a drifting away on the part of God's people. God is still calling us unto that renewal. And I hope that even before these days are over, we can truly say that we have had a spiritual renewal with our wonderful Lord. I want to share with you this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading the first 5 verses of this chapter. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. I have chosen for my subject this morning the first phrase of verse 2, preach the word, or preach the gospel. Just as a word of background connected with this passage of Scripture, we find that Paul the Apostle is writing these words from a Roman prison. He is reflecting upon his own experiences of his own life. He is writing these words of exhortation and challenge unto a young preacher by the name of Timothy. As Paul came to the end of his life, as he realized that life was soon to be over, I believe that he was reflecting upon his own experiences. And I believe that these experiences of the Apostle Paul was the motivation and the stirring of heart that led him to pen these words to the young and inexperienced preacher by the name of Timothy. The first thing that he says unto him, he says, Timothy, I want to impress upon you, and I want to charge you to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to exhort you to be faithful in the proclamation of the gospel, to be faithful in the proclamation of God's word, and to be faithful unto the preaching of those whom you are trusted and entrusted to preach unto. So we see that as Paul the Apostle was reflecting upon his own experiences, he knew something of the difficulty and the hardships that lie ahead for young Timothy. For in his own life, I'm sure that it was brought to his mind many instances where he was persecuted and where he was punished and where he suffered for the cause of Christ. But in his own life, he had remained steadfast. He had remained faithful. For in verses 6 through 8 of this same chapter, we have the words of the personal testimony of Paul the Apostle when he said, now that life is drawing to a close, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Thou hast finished the course for which God had charted out for my life. Now this morning, in looking at this passage of Scripture, I want us to think about two things that Paul the Apostle had to say about the gospel. What did the gospel mean to him? What was his own feeling concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, I would have you to know that Paul the Apostle said that the gospel is the power of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek." Paul defined the gospel as the power of God. The power of God that is able to transform lives. Now, he also stressed the fact that the gospel was not only the power of God in transforming lives, but he also said that it was through the work of the Holy Spirit of God that gave the gospel the power to transform lives. I am not able in my flesh to transform lives. It is the work of the Holy Spirit using human instruments to proclaim the glad tidings of the gospel, that we are enabled to see how that the preached word through the work of the Holy Spirit brings a change in lives of humanity. For Paul also said that if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This power of God unto salvation. Notice what took place in reference to the power of God on the day of Pentecost, when the people had been praying, when they had been tarrying in Jerusalem for the coming of the Spirit. And when the Spirit came as a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and Peter proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When he proclaimed this message and when he gave the invitation, 3,000 souls came forward, demonstrating that through the preached word and the power of the Holy Spirit, that a transformation had taken place in their lives. This transformation, my dear friends, should be evident to the world and our society in which we live. People ought to be able to observe our walk with Christ and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we have been born again. And it's because of the power of the gospel through the work of the Holy Spirit. Another instance in the Word of God in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi, in prison for preaching the gospel. The Bible says that at midnight an earthquake came as Paul and Silas were praising God in the midst of adversity. They were still able to praise God, and the earthquake came, and the jailer, awaking out of his sleep, thinking that perhaps the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to take his own life when Paul said, "Sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here." The Bible says that he fell down at their feet, trembling, and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And on this occasion, Paul didn't preach a long, lengthy sermon. He only said one line, but he said it right. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And this is the power of the gospel that we need to proclaim to men today. That is through faith in Jesus Christ that brings about a transformation of our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "For God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For it is through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved, but unto us it is a power of God. For the foolishness of preaching unto them that believe, it is a power of God unto salvation. Then in verse 21 of that same chapter, Paul said that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish, is unto them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is a power of God. Paul said the gospel is a power of God, even unto salvation. Then the second thing that we want to bring to your attention this morning, not only is the power of God, or the gospel defined as a power of God, but Paul made it very clear that there is only one gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, Paul had become very angry and disturbed at the churches of Galatia because they had departed from the true gospel. And he says these words unto them, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul was speaking of the gospel as the good news of the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. Paul said that this gospel which I have preached and which I preach is of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago in the city of Bethlehem. A babe was born. Not an ordinary babe, but God incarnate in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And this Jesus lived a life of 33 and a half years of perfection. Died on a cross at Calvary. Was resurrected from the dead that we might live. There is only one gospel that we have to preach. There is not another gospel. So as we think about this passage, I want to bring this message to a close by giving you a charge this morning from the Word of God as preachers of the gospel. Some of you pastors of churches, some will be pastors before long. Let me close this message with reading verse 5 of this chapter as a charge and an exhortation unto all ministers of the gospel. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. May each and every one of you, as God's blessings abide and go with you, wherever you find yourselves involved in ministry, may you be faithful in the proclamation of the gospel. Preach the word. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we recognize that these words were written many years ago, but they are very relevant and applicable unto the day in which we live. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that this message will be used of you to bring forth harvest in the days to come from the lives of those who proclaim the glad tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your wonderful and holy name, we do pray.